Well, happy Monday to you and welcome back to the DriveCast. I hope you had a great weekend. My name's Dean. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Central campus as the lead pastor of LifePoint. We jump back into our series called Built to Last, where we're really talking about how we take our faith kind of down to the studs. We have to rethink our faith, rethink, man, what is core, what is most important. And so what we're doing is looking at our core values. We have five of them. We post them in the lobbies around our churches. We talk about them as much as possible. And we've been careful to say that we believe that faith is more than these five core values. There are things like a robust theological statement or things like the discipline of fasting or something like that that maybe are not listed in our core values. So faith is more than our core values, but it's not less than these things. We think these things are agreed upon. Our early church fathers, we feel like, would agree with these things. Varieties of conservative biblical theology would all agree on these things, that they need to be part of our lives. And so this week, we took the opportunity to talk about authentic community. And we say authentic community means that we are family. We talked about one of my favorite biblical characters at Lewis Center, Barnabas. Now, you may be wondering why we are kind of out of order at the Lewis Center campus with the core values. Our other campuses talked about reaching priority, but at Lewis Center, we did authentic community just because the person who was supposed to speak this weekend was feeling a little bit bad, so we just swapped weeks. So we'll hit reaching priority next week. But as we talked about this whole idea of family, like I said, we looked at one of my favorite characters, Barnabas, and there's just a wonderful self-forgetfulness about Barnabas. Whenever Saul, whenever he comes to faith in the New Testament, no one from Jerusalem wanted to go confirm it because they thought he was trying to trick them, trying to set a trap for them. And so, you know, people like St. Peter and St. John, you know, they didn't, St. James, they didn't want to have anything to do with him. So who would they send? They sent Barnabas. Barnabas is the one who sold a piece of ground that he had and gave all the money to the church. And they didn't have any framework for somebody doing this, for somebody living in such a generous way. So his name really was originally Joseph. And they changed his name to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Later on, he takes Saul with him on the first missionary trip. And they're listed in the book of Acts as Barnabas and Saul. And Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul over and over again, which is a literary feature in Greek that means Barnabas is the leader. But when they get to Cyprus, which is Barnabas's hometown, for the first time, Saul, who eventually becomes Paul, we're talking about St. Paul, his gifts outpace Barnabas's gifts for the first time. And if you notice what happens in Acts chapter 13, for the first time after they leave Cyprus, instead of it being Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul, Acts 13:13 says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos to Perga in Pamphylia." So the whole idea is that when they go to Barnabas's hometown, Barnabas is like the headliner of the group, and Saul is one of the other guys in the group. When they leave there, all of a sudden Paul is the headliner of the group, and Barnabas, really his role grows smaller and smaller into Acts chapter 15, where he confronts Simon Peter about racism from the Jewish perspective towards Gentile believers. They get ready to take another trip. He wants to get John Mark, but John Mark had deserted them previously on the trip, and so Paul doesn't want to take John Mark. So Barnabas makes a decision to multiply from Paul. He says, "You know, Paul, you've learned enough. I've taught you enough. You take Silas. You go that way. I'm going to get John Mark, this young guy. We're going to go this way." And from there, you don't hear anything else about Barnabas, really, for the rest of the book of Acts. It's incredible. He just fades into the background. What's interesting to me is that when Paul writes his last letter in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, this is the last chapter of the last letter that he writes. He writes these words. He says, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." So all of a sudden now, Paul, in his old age, in his later years, he's convinced of John Mark's usefulness in ministry. This John Mark is Saint Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, who, there's a few different theories, but if you believe in what's called Markan priority, Mark being the shortest gospel, that the other gospel authors used Mark's gospel as a basis for their gospels, all of a sudden you begin to realize the impact that Barnabas has. I think you can make the case that Barnabas is the most influential human Christian who has ever lived. If you think about it, between Paul and Mark, they write 15 of 27 New Testament books, not to mention the fact that Mark influences the other gospel writers. I'm not even counting that. So that's 56% of the New Testament comes from those two men, and you don't have those two men if you don't have Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. That's what his name means, the son of encouragement. So I'll give you just make it really simple. Find an encourager and become an encourager. You know, we're launching a brand new term of life groups this week, and there's somebody that needs your encouragement. Somebody in a small group. So grab a catalog and find a group. I know at Lewis Center, we've got a new bridge group for ladies called Forgiven and Set Free, for ladies who have made abortive decisions and walking through that process. We have another bridge group for blended families. We have another bridge group, Beth Fields, a six-week group on eschatology and revelation. So find a group and become an encourager. That's why every one of our life groups has a co-leader, because we believe in multiplication, that you can multiply your life. As a matter of fact, if you feel a sense of calling or potentially a calling, not necessarily even just a full-time ministry, but to be part of a team, a church planting team, you just want to multiply your life. We actually have a new life group being led by Kyle Connell this term, where he's going to lead through what we call the multiplication pipeline. Our whole staff who was available went through it this past year and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's putting people together, and as God gives us opportunities like Marion and Plain City, we have teams of people who their lives are prepared to multiply. You know, we've got a lot of young worship leaders right now at Lewis Center, and that's really not by accident. I think about, you know, our creative arts pastor, Shane Tucker. Shane was mentored by a guy named Charlie Hall, who was one of the original worship leaders with Louis Giglio and Six Steps Records. I think there were four of them. I think it was David Crowder, Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman, and Charlie Hall. And Charlie mentored Shane. And in the early days, Shane was one of our worship pastors. And then this young kid from Liberty University showed up, and his name was John Myers. Now, at the time, John was playing in a band called the Meredith Andrews Band, and Meredith eventually became the worship leader for Vertical Worship, and now is leading at the Belonging Company, two of the most influential groups probably of the last decade and a half, and that was John's trajectory. But instead of going that route, John chose to root himself in the local church because Charlie, who mentored Shane, and Shane then who mentored John, John believed in what God was doing through the local church. And now John is mentoring, is pouring himself into a bunch of young worship leaders to the degree that in a few weeks, on a Sunday morning, it's going to be a great day because we're going to have our whole student band. The whole worship will be led by student band that weekend. So all that to say, listen, just multiply your life. Take the opportunity, what God has given you, use those gifts. And the reason that Barnabas could do that, the reason that Barnabas could just have that wonderful sense of humility and self-forgetfulness about him, the reason that he could give, that he could, you know, in a sense, risk his life to go see Paul, is because his Savior didn't just risk his life, his Savior gave his life. So Barnabas knew his eternity was secure, his eternity was set, so he could live free. And so I'm going to pray for us that we will live out of a sense of authentic community, that we're family, and that we will multiply our lives into others because the Savior multiplied his life for us. Father, we are so grateful for the way that you gave yourself for us freely. You didn't risk it. You intentionally gave it. You knew it. You went to Calvary for us. You faced death for us, so that we, God, could, so that we could live freely, securely, so that we could give our lives away God, will you help us do that? Help us be multipliers. Help us be multipliers in sharing the gospel. Help us to be multipliers in encouraging the gospel. Make us Barnabases, Lord, for your kingdom's sake. Now you take the opportunity to pray.